Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com. Welcome to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food related. My name is Sarah Severson. I'm your host, and today we have with us Bob Gorman with the USDA Farm to School Program. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
And we've also got Jim Dyer, Colorado State Lead with the National Farm to School Network. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Good morning, Sarah.
Yeah. So let's start with a little bit of history and scope of each of your programs. So we'll start with Bob. Let's talk about the USDA Farm to School program. How did it start, and what's the scope of the program?
Okay. So we came about in like 2010 with the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, in which it authorizes legislation to give $5 million a year in farm to school grants and provide technical assistance. So I help administer these farm to school grants, as well as provide technical assistance to schools or states in getting their farm to school programs up and going.
And it's only been going since 2010, eh?
From the USDA side of things, yes. But as you know, farm to school has been around for many, many years and has just grown. And I think finally the USDA has taken it up, and they've seen a lot of the benefits. So it's been great.
Great. And so, Jim, the National Farm to School Network is a separate entity from the USDA Farm to School Program. So explain the history of the network, how it's got started, and what its scope is.
Well, that's right, Sarah. The National Farm to School Network discussions and its formation started almost 10 years ago. We were meeting across the country trying to work with communities that were starting farm to school programs and trying to connect them across the country and build the strength of the movement. So it's been a good part of 10 years that in the making. And it's wonderful to have the USDA involved in a very direct way. They were partners all along, but in terms of being directly involved in farm to school, it's great to have them on as partners.
Did the USDA farm to school program develop because of what the network was communicating?
We would like to think so. Yeah,
I would say almost definitely. I mean, what the farm to school are some really best practices in order to incorporate a lot of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act changes. So yeah, definitely. I think they're the reason why I'm here.
Great. Well, that's fantastic. And what's the scope? What does the network?
Well, the network tries to look at as essentially acting as a nonprofit, trying to look at the whole field and see what is needed in terms of on a national basis. So they look at information services, the flow of information about the program, try to coordinate some of the media around this and help spread. That's a great way to spread the successes around the country. And they're also looking at technical assistance. And the USDA is a great help now in that, broadened our capacity a great deal there. But also policy. And this is one of the things, policy is one of the ways in which we probably helped the USDA jump in with the grant programs, because we do policy improvements at the federal level as well as state and local.
Great. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Today we have in the studio with us Bob Gorman with the USDA Farm to School Program and Jim Dyer, Colorado State Lead with the National Farm to School Network. So let's talk a little bit about those policy changes that have happened. You know, this is a relatively new movement, with the USDA coming in about 5 years ago, the network being involved for the last 10 years. What kind of policy changes have started because of these projects and programs and people being interested and involved around the country?
Well, yes. And again, with the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, you know, there's been a lot of changes to the school's lunch programs, trying to serve healthier foods. So there's been quite a bit of policies changing, and there's still some going on. And I think over the years, it'll still grow.
Yeah, fantastic. What have you noticed around policy changes?
Well, I think Farm to School is basically trying to help support the Better Food for Kids movement, I would say, in general, which may not have a specific name. But Farm to School brings that connection to local farms and ranches, a better understanding of where the food comes from, what it looks like when it comes from the field, so kids can better accept it and spread that to their parents. So we're adding that excitement and actually leveraging the local food movement to help support the Better School food and Better Food for Kids movement.
Yeah, and Jim, what has happened with our food system? I mean, how did we get off track from
That would be three more shows.
In a nutshell, you know, what's happened where we used to have school gardens happening, we used to have a lot of the Victory Gardens home growing of food and that connection to food. What do you think? What have you seen that's happened with our food system?
Well, I think you've hit it on the nose. We've distanced the consumer from the point of production. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I certainly don't understand them all, but it's been going on for several decades at least. And surprisingly, we're making great strides. And I'm very surprised at the local food movement that it has legs, and it's Farm to School in particular is well framed in the public's mind so that they do get it. So it's a very rapid shift to try to rethink that separation between production in the field, on farms and ranches, and the consumers. Yeah. And schools are a perfect way to start that effort.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think with the Farm to School grants, the USDA is able to help support a lot of these movements because there is such a huge disconnect today between kids and where their food comes from. You ask the average third grader what an eggplant looks like, and they would not be able to draw a picture or describe it to you. And it's kind of scary. So I think, and then of course, local food also tastes better. You know, so to bring local foods into the cafeteria where kids are being exposed to some of these fruits and vegetables or even local meats for the first time, it's really amazing. And, you know, it helps increase participation because kids are eating and less food waste because they like it. And, you know, they know where their food comes from, and they're taught about their food, their experiential education. There's a lot of different things going on with Farm to School, so it's been great.
And one of those other things that is very pertinent, I think, and pertinent today because we'll be touring some of the gardens that the mm-hmm. Montezuma School to Farm Project has helped set up across the area. And gardens are an essential part of the Farm to School movement, edible education, we might call it, with real food. So they see the eggplant, maybe they planted the eggplant, maybe they've participated in cutting it up and helping prepare it for a meal. Definitely. No better way. And I think it's just as important probably as the food itself.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, talking with Bob Gorman with the USDA Farm to School Program and Jim Dyer, Colorado State Lead with the National Farm to School Network. So before the break, Jim, we were talking a little bit about garden programs and that being an important component of so not only getting the food, the local food, into the cafeterias, but also having those school garden programs be an important component. Is there a third component to what the network or the USDA does as well?
Well, from the network's point of view, the classroom is the other part of this. And there's no reason it has to be a separate part of this whole program. The gardens activities should be integrated into the curriculum, into the classroom. You can do an amazing amount of science, biology, mathematics, physics, history, and culture in the garden. And good garden programs around the country have done this sort of integration. So you could also look at the school lunch time as being part of the curriculum as well. There's no reason it has to be separate. We have, and it doesn't have to be supported necessarily in different ways. So it's just as important as the other aspects of the curriculum and the classroom activity. So yes, there are different parts, but they're all one, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the USDA agrees and supports those efforts as well. And it could be anything from, you know, a first grader counting how many peas are in a pod to a senior that's doing aquaponics and trying to figure out the different yields from a tomato plant using this type of fertilizer or this type of sunlight. So there's really a lot that they could learn. And again, when kids make these connections with their food, where it comes from, how it's grown, not only are they more likely to try that food, but more likely to like it. So it's really great.
So talking about connections, Bob, what's your background? And like, how did you come to farm to school? What's your interest and passion in this movement across the country?
Well, my interest, I think, started back when I worked for Denver Public Schools. We served a lot of the processed food and a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. But then one day my boss was like, we're changing this. We're going to serve food from school gardens, and we're going to serve local beef, and
were you in the food
locally.
Service director?
Yes. I was a supervisor, so I wasn't the director. But we made this huge change, and, you know, I tell you what, you could see the passion of some of the farmers that we were working with, some of the teachers that were really into it. We worked with Slow Foods to get, you know, the school changed around. It was really a great program. And it was one of those, it took some adjusting. It took some time. But over the course of a couple years, things really started to turn around. Parents were more happier with what we were serving. The kids liked it a lot more. Salad bars went into every school. You know, it was just really, really great.
So you saw changes on the ground happening in your school district, in the Denver Public School District.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And how about you, Jim? How did you get to come to this movement? I think you have a long history involved.
I'm not that old, Sarah. But I would say that...
Short but intense history.
Came to this probably from the field of sustainable agriculture, working on this for many, many years. And that led to the local food movement to more of looking at sustainable community food systems. And Farm to School is an essential part of that. It's a wonderful place, as we indicated, that public gets it. But if you have a strong Farm to School program, you're going to require more producers making livable income. You need distribution systems. You need people to rethink their relationship to food, people to make sure that everybody in the community has the ability to pay livable wages and all, but also the willingness to pay. And that's where we're up against, I think, in the farm school movement now. We made some amazing strides, but to make this scale it up to a very significant part of the school budget and menu, we need to be willing to pay as a society for better food for our kids.
So let's talk about that for a second, because a lot of the previous and current system is based on the commodification of food and getting food at a very cheap cost. Mm-hmm. And that's just not sustainable for local producers. So what are you seeing how that's being addressed creatively, effectively, innovative programs around the country, or what needs to be done, what you could see happening if those programs aren't already established or being in process?
USDA is looking at me, okay? this is difficult, and this is the struggle of turning back those decades that we talked about earlier of separating the production of food from the consumption of food. So policies are certainly part of this, but it's also the public's will. By willingness to pay, we're talking about not only government, not only food service, but parents and the community as a whole. So it really takes rethinking of this. In this country, we're spending a very small percentage of our income on food, and we pride ourselves in that. If we don't change that, we're not going to turn this around.
So there's a clarity around the issue, and the innovative solution to those issues hasn't necessarily come forward yet.
Right. And this is where policy comes in. The National Network works on policy on the federal level, and they're working with a child nutrition reauthorization where some of those allocations of funds come in. But a few cents per plate isn't going to turn this around. That is good incremental change, but we have to be thinking, what will it take to get the best food on the kids' plate? Farm to school is one way to move in that direction.
Yeah, Bob, how about you? What are your thoughts on that? I know that's a challenging issue that's across the country.
Yes, and you know, even though the commodities are produced, mass produced, they do support farmers, and sometimes it could be local farmers. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is something that over a period of time may change a little bit.
Okay, great. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Bob Gorman with the USDA Farm to School Program and Jim Dyer, Colorado State Lead with the National Farm to School Network. Let's turn to, briefly to Native communities. That's been a big focus for the USDA Farm to School Program. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in that realm.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot going on with Native communities. We actually have a couple Farm to School grantees that are in the Native communities, so we're looking forward to working with them, and there has been some past grantees as well. So, we're excited to work with them.
How about you, Jim? What have you seen in the Native communities in
our
region?
We've been working with Native communities for the past 20 or so years, and the capacity within the tribal reservation areas in the Southwest Colorado Plateau, as well as the interest in this, has blossomed, I'd say, in the past less than 10 years. Spread of cell phones has made an enormous difference, okay? And we just were, Bob and I were just in Chicago last week, and we had a cohort of representatives from tribal communities across the country, including from here, the Ute Mountain Ute locally, Eric from Towak, and Griselda from over in White Mesa, over in Utah. So it is going very well. And in terms of gardens and traditional foods, we can all learn a lot from the culture behind tribal food systems.
Fantastic. Well, if people want to get more involved, learn more about the USDA Farm to School Program, Bob, where would they get that information?
Yeah, definitely. Go to our USDA's Farm to School webpage. There's a lot of information on there, anything from our grant programs to webinars and how to get started, a lot of fact sheets about Farm to School. So definitely check out our USDA Farm to School webpage.
Fantastic. And Jim, if people want to learn more about the National Farm to School Network.
Nationally, you would go to www.farmtoschool.org. Farmtoschool.org, and locally you could talk to us at Healthy Community Food Systems, www.hcfs.org. It is not high fructose corn syrup, it's hcfs.org.
Great. Well, thanks so much to both of you for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Great. That was Bob Gorman with the USDA Farm to School Program and Jim Dyer, Colorado State Lead with the National Farm to School Network. You can listen to the full podcast of this production or any other Big Fat Farm Show interviews at ksjd.org. Tune in 2 weeks for another edition of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, signing off saying friend a local farmer this week. Thanks for listening and have a great day.